ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 4 टेक्स्ट नंबर 6। दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज दी हंस गुह्य प्रेयर्स। ताभ्याम निर्धैयमानं स्ता उपलभ्य कुरुद्वह राजवाच महान सोमो मन्युं प्रशमयन्निव। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। माय डियर किंग परीक्षित, व्हेन सोमा द किंग ऑफ द ट्रीज एंड प्रिडोमिनेटिंग डिटी ऑफ द मून सॉ द फायर एंड विंड बर्निंग ऑल द ट्रीज टू एशेस, he felt great sympathy because he is the maintainer of all herbs and trees. To appease the anger of the prachetas, Soma spoke as follows. Purport: it is understood from this verse that the predominating deity of the moon is the maintainer of all trees and plants throughout the universe. It is due to the moonshine the trees and plants grow very luxuriantly. Therefore, how can we accept the so-called scientists whose moon expeditions have informed us that there are no trees or vegetation on the moon? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Somo vrikshadisthathasa eva vrikshanam raja. Soma, the predominating deity of the moon, is the king of all vegetation. How can we believe that the maintainer of vegetation has no vegetation on his own planet? Om Agitabhyam Nirdhayamanam Stan. In the Ramayana, when Lord Ram was in the forest and Bharat went to bring him back, and along with Bharat, many of the sages also accompanied him. And one of the sages was Jabali. And this Jabali, to increase or to awaken the desire to enjoy the kingdom in the heart of Lord Ram, he expounded the philosophy of in the non-existence of the soul. He talked about chemical combination. And he convinced Lord Ram that you are not connected to Dasharath, you have no connection. And what is the question of giving Pitris, the Shraddha ceremony is not required. He propounded very brilliant logic. He said, when we offer food to the forefathers, it doesn't make any sense. He said, just like if some traveler is traveling, why should we prepare all the arrangements? We pack lunch for him, we pack dinner for him, we pack tiffin for him. He said, it is not required. You can stay in your home. He doesn't need to carry anything. Just cook everything and offer it in his name. He should eat it. He should get it. So therefore he said, the life comes from chemical combination. Nothing exists beyond that. And therefore your father, whom you called as your father, has become part of this chemical combination. So the basic principle of this philosophy, why did he speak this philosophy? He didn't believe that philosophy. Jabali himself was a great austere yogi, practicing austerity, one of the sages in the court of Lord Ram. Why would he believe in that philosophy? He would not. He was a practitioner of Vedic religion. But he could recognize, to awaken the desire to gratify senses, one has to accept this philosophy. When the philosophy of non-existence of the soul is accepted, then the desire to enjoy increases. But as long as we increase or understand the value or the life force and the source of life force, then there is less chances of exploiting it. Therefore, we see, either it is moon planet, as Prabhupada explains, how can we accept it? It completely contradicts the version of Krishna. Krishna explains, Gama Vishyacha Bhutani Dharayam Aham Ojasha, that everything, even in the moon planet, whatever the rasatmaka, whatever rasa we are receiving, that is coming because of Krishna. The principle of life force is there, and Krishna is empowering moon god. And because moon god is empowered by Krishna, we find all the juices in the vegetable. So therefore, either it is a universal body, or this universal body, or the body of moon planet, or either the body of a human being, or an animal, or a tree. If the conception is the same, if you don't accept life in moon, naturally you extend that philosophy to small living entity also. It is not that you experience life here and you go there and the life is not there. It is all based upon the philosophy. Just like they don't accept the life is existing in the moon, similarly by their activities, the modern man does not accept life in a human being also. How do you understand? By their behavior, by recklessly killing living entities when they are living in the womb of their mother. So they are practicing that philosophy. Similarly, one who practices the philosophy, the Vedanta Darshan, the Darshan of the Vedas, to see life everywhere. When we see life everywhere and the source of life everywhere, then you don't need to go there to the moon planet to see that the life exists there. We extend the logic. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada, immediately, even though it is not connected to the science, previous verse he talked about preaching with humility. Here he is blasting the scientists that how can we accept it? It is not acceptable. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, Ravindra Swarupa was mentioning, there are different kinds of culture. There is a culture of body, there is a culture of mind, there is a culture of intelligence, there is a culture of soul. Culture of body means that your whole goal, if you remove the culture of intelligence and the culture of soul, when you only practice the culture of body, then the goal is to enjoy or to give maximum gratification to the body. And if you fail to gratify the body or you fail to give gratification to the body, that is considered as the failure of one's life. So body culture, absence of soul and intellect, is simply to gratify. And then the culture of the mind is fulfilled, especially in the material world, by hearing from the materialistic people. Or allowing our mind to be influenced by matter. And he quoted, the culture of the intellect actually begins when we take shelter of Bhagavad Gita. As Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, that those who study this book, they worship me with their intelligence. It is not a book of ritual. It is a book which challenges our whole concept of, bodily concept of life. And he said, the culture of the soul is studying Srimad Bhagavatam. When we study Srimad Bhagavatam, all the finer emotions are awakened. Just see that nobody can manufacture emotions to become angry or to love someone, to express affection to someone. This is not possible by combining some chemicals. Yes, it is quite difficult to accept for a common man, one who does not have the experience of Krishna, or one who does not hear from the experiences of the great souls about Krishna's supremacy over entire material and spiritual creation. For him to hear and accept that God is the controller, it's quite fantastic. And therefore, he creates another fantastic idea that everything comes by chance. It takes greater faith and imagination to accept that everything is coming by chance. Our Vrishabhanu Prabhu was, Muralidhar Prabhu was telling me, he said there is a kind of a B vitamin 12. He says this vitamin, to make this vitamin, 99 scientists from 11 countries, they worked more than 15 years. And two Nobel laureates, they were guiding them. And for more than 15 years they worked, and how much chemical, how much B vitamin they could create? Less than a milligram, 1 or 2 milligrams. And the material nature, you know, she is creating unlimitedly. In green leafy vegetable, this vitamin is abundantly available. When 99 scientists working together for 15 years, guided by Nobel laureate, in most sophisticated laboratories, cannot create even 1 or 2 grams of this B vitamin. And here Mother Nature is abundantly creating it. And still, to accept that everything is happening by chance, it takes a greater imagination than accepting a person. So therefore, as Srila Prabhupada explains, that this whole material world is like a computer. And to operate a computer, you need an expert operator. If there is no expert operator, you can't even begin to, you know, switch on the computer. What to speak of operating it. So Prabhupada explained, just like a computer requires an operator, expert operator, only when the operator is there, you can use the computer. He said, similarly this material world, to operate this, which is a machine, how can it work without the brain of an operator? He says, this is common sense. And still just see how foolish and stubborn they are, they will not accept this principle. So therefore, non-acceptance of life and the life source, or the acceptance of God, is basically because when we accept God, then you have to change around the whole philosophy. Our lifestyle has to be changed. Our culture has to be changed. Then you have to accept somebody as authority and follow all the moral laws. But if they accept that, as Jabali was propagating to Lord Ram was taking the path of austerities, being in the forest. Why? Because he had to follow certain moral principles. There was a hierarchy that father is authority, and even though his authority is not logical, most of the time it is true. Their logic is illogical, but the children still have to follow. So the principle of accepting authority is more important. Even though it may not prove to be logical and it may not prove to be profitable. But still, Lord Ram was willing to follow it. Why? Because he was following his life based upon the Vedas. And therefore, when Jabali spoke this philosophy, Lord Ram became very upset and angry. He said, how could you speak this? He says, life is governed by the Shastras. And if you don't follow the Shastras, then it is demoniac. So therefore, as Ravindra Sarupu was mentioning, that the culture begins from the level of soul. Civilization does not begin from the level of body. Body is immaterial. But when we begin from the soul level, and then go ahead, the intellectual level, studying the concept given in the Bhagavad Gita, very clear concept. And therefore, when Arjuna was presenting his logic, again, Arjuna's logic apparently appeared to be very, very conducive, very beneficial to the society. Practicing compassion, practicing non-violence. Just see, one person's non-violence, practice of one person non-violence, could have caused violence to unlimited number of people. All the soldiers on the battlefield, would have gone to the hellish planet if Arjuna was not involved in the battle. But Arjuna was only seeing from his own point of view, his own bodily point of view, and an extension of his body. So even though his compassion was good, but when the compassion was extended to the community, that compassion turned into be great violence. But he was not able to see that. Of course, Srila Baladeva Vidya Bhushan explains, and Prabhupada also concludes the first chapter's purport, that Arjuna's compassion was the qualification to understand Atma-Gyan. One who is cruel and violent, he can never understand Atma-Gyan. Even if you speak to him about the difference between body and the soul, because his life is governed by the principle of violence, exploitation, selfishness, even if you talk about the soul, it doesn't make any sense in the brain. But Arjuna's compassion was so great, individually Arjuna's compassion was very wonderful. But collectively, for the community it was not good. But because of that individual compassion, which Arjuna was expressing, Baladeva Vidya Bhushan explains, Arjuna became fit candidate to hear about the difference between body and the soul, Atma-Gyan. And therefore, from very beginning, for a Kshatriya on the battlefield, to hear the difference between body and the soul is very difficult. Is extremely ununderstandable. But Arjuna had the basic qualification. And because he had that qualification, immediately Krishna started to speak. Even though apparently it appeared to be very basic knowledge, the difference between body and soul, but to realize it, to experience it, it's a great endeavor. But Arjuna had that qualification, and therefore Krishna spoke that knowledge to him. So we see here, when practice of this culture, the Krishna conscious culture, like in the Bhagavad 7th canto also, Hiranyakashipu was also asking the same question. Where this force or this energy is coming from? Where do you get this strength from? And Prahlad Maharaj could see that strength from only one source, coming from Krishna, not from chemical combination. He said, wherever you get that source, that strength, the same source is also my source of strength. There is no duality. It is the same principle. So therefore we see Prabhupada, of course he mentioned that you bring any scientist, you bring any philosopher, at any time, he said, we are not educated, we are not learned, but we have no fear in defeating them. Why? Because we are connected to Krishna. We are backed up by Krishna, therefore we can defeat any scientist by simple Krishna conscious logic. Of course, because he doesn't have a PhD, as somebody was mentioning, that Prabhupada told Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, that you can present what we are presenting, but in a language which they will understand, in their language. And if you have a PhD and you present it like that, maybe they will accept you. Maybe they will understand. But if we present, they will not take care or they will not give any attention to understand this. But even an ordinary young person who is a Navasakya, a young devotee, by reading the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, he can understand the difference between body and the soul. Makes it very crystal clear how mind is different, how intelligence is different, how false ego is different, how the soul is different. As in the one of the, I think it's in the fifth, which is that knowledge? 13th chapter, na? Yeah. The 20 items of knowledge. Now these 20 items of knowledge, they are not interaction of the senses. They are not interaction of some chemicals. They don't form this humility, in the compassion, affection, they are not formed because of certain chemical reactions or chemical combination. Just see, this character to develop, it takes great connection with the Supreme Lord and His devotees. To develop humility, to develop compassion. In fact, the quality of compassion is the character of the eternal soul. It is the character of the soul. And to call it as an interaction of senses, is like offending the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You can take that chemical combination and try to mix and create compassion. It is not possible. It is the character of the soul. So when the living entity connects with the Supreme Lord by studying Srimad Bhagavatam, then these natural character of the living entities are developed. So when this natural character is developed by connecting with Krishna, and then such love for the Lord is expressed to the fallen conditioned soul. It does not come simply by interacting with material nature. And therefore when people talk about doing good to others on a mundane platform, they end up committing violence. Though they talk about social service, you know, they end up killing animals, they end up killing whatever they are doing. You know, trying to stop the population, trying to stop certain disease. But how do they do that? By creating greater violence. By killing the children, by killing the animals, like mad cow disease. From Krishna's point of view, protecting cow is so important. But from their point of view, from the materialistic point of view, to protect the human being, they are willing to slaughter billions of cows. So therefore it is not question of convincing through simple logic. It is question of trying to create this understanding that you have the violent nature, you have the nature to exploit, and because you want to exploit and gratify your senses, therefore you don't accept God. Just like they say that why somebody wants to accept God? So that to create the fear. The fear of God. If there is a law and there is a lawmaker, then we act properly. Therefore human beings have created God. They say that. And one sense it is true. If we have no fear of God, then we behave recklessly. So to create the fear of God is very important. That is the beginning of love. And when they forget the fear of God, then there is no rules and regulation. There is no question of interacting and being grateful to each other. In the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains, yajna means what? Yajna means we offer something to the demigods. And they being pleased with the living entities, they offer the necessities of life. In this way, when the living entities and the demigods interact, accepting both's existence, understanding each other's requirements, that enhances the relationship and people act sensitively, and in this way both become very happy. But when we don't see human emotions involved, then we act on a very gross platform. And therefore, then slowly you start believing that there is no life in 4 months old child. There is no life in a person who is, dumb or one who cannot hear. And you start accepting there is no life in an old man. And ultimately, one devotee wrote an article. He said, ultimately, it becomes that only I have right to live and everybody else has no reason to live. It becomes extreme selfishness that this whole world is, should be organized in a such a way that even only I exist and nobody should exist. It can go to that extent. I always like to quote this. One French minister gave the advice to his king. He asked, how can our country flourish? And the minister said that we have 6 lakh extra people. If we slaughter them, then our country will flourish. That means minimizing the number of people means that gives greater satisfaction to others. This is a common psychology in the mundane world. That if you have a greater number, you know, to help you, that means you are very powerful. Just like in the 10th verse of the Bhagavad Gita, first chapter, Duryodhan made this point. He said, my army, which has got 11 akshoini sainya, apariyaptam todimetesham. my army which has got 11 Akshayani Sainya, protected by Bhishma, is powerful. And on the other hand, the army of the Pandavas protected by Bhima, which is Paryaptam, only 7 Akshayani Sainya, is limited. It is a Kali Yuga brain. Duryodhan is the personification of Kali. So whatever benefits me, that means if there is a greater number of people helping me, that means that is power. And if there are greater number of people who are causing difficulties to me, that means minimize their number. That is the mentality of a person who is infected by the principle of Kali. So it is not a question of big number of people or less number of people. Srila Prabhupada explains, when Arjuna was presenting this argument, Varna Sankara Jayate, and when there is no Shraddha ceremony, the family traditions are destroyed, what will happen? Varna Sankara will flourish. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that it is not overpopulation, but having a right kind of people on the planet, a right kind of people being in this world, is what gives prosperity and spiritual culture. It is not because less number of people will give prosperity. It seems like that. Like when we go to yatra also, our tendency is that if there are less people, then we can enjoy. If there are too many people, then we cannot enjoy. There are less people in Bombay, then we can enjoy. Materially, it's the best thing. If there are less people in the temple also, just like Sharad Purnima, we also use the same logic. That not many number of people should come so that we can enjoy the festival. That is the material logic. But the spiritual logic is that if there is a heart involved and the principle of connection with the Supreme Lord and the demigods are involved, then you create space within your heart. And when you create space within your heart, then everyone can live in a great harmony. So therefore we see here, the scientist, Srila Prabhupada is quoting, they can't prove the non-existence of life in the moon planet. They can simply assume. Just like they say that life does not exist in the child which is 4 months old, they can't prove it. They can't prove non-existence of God. They can't prove anything which is practiced by the Vedic followers. They take a greater leap of faith by saying everything comes by chance, which is disproved by the Vedic life. But still, because of the stubbornness in the culture, the lifestyle, which will not allow them to accept this principle. So therefore, one who accepts the principle of Krishna consciousness, the culture of Krishna consciousness, what is the culture of Krishna consciousness? Not only accepting Krishna is the Supreme Lord, not only believing Krishna is the Supreme Lord, but allowing the other living entities to survive and flourish and create facilities for them to survive. Seeing Lord in them also, when we practice this principle, then seeing Atma, seeing soul, seeing Paramatma, seeing life everywhere becomes very easy. Like Ravindra Swarup was also mentioning, that ultimately the Shastra Gyan is not Shabda Praman, it is not Anuman Praman, it is actually Pratyaksha Praman only. But the Pratyaksha Praman of the Shastra is a Vaidushika Pratyaksha. Vaidushika Pratyaksha means that the Pratyaksha of the learned people, the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, what is it? It is a direct evidence given by the Supreme Lord. It's a direct experience of the sages. Narad Muni had a direct experience. Vyasdeva had a direct experience. Sukadeva Goswami had a direct experience. And their direct experience are spoken for those who cannot experience it. And why they speak it? So that we can also have a direct experience. As Krishna explains to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, that this knowledge is the most secret of all knowledge and can be experienced directly. Pratyakshavagamam dharmyam. So therefore, unless we have the experience of Krishna consciousness, it is very difficult to survive and continue in Krishna consciousness. Simply the logic and philosophy will not sustain us for long. But only when we experience Krishna consciousness, that gives greater impetus to experience greater levels of understanding of devotional service. Therefore, sadhana bhakti is that experience. You know, hearing about Krishna, chanting the holy name, worshipping the deities, associating with devotees. This gives the experience. And with this experience, we hear the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, that gives greater impetus to understand the higher realms of devotional service. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam is there. The other literatures are there. We experience the practice of devotional service, we hear the philosophy, and we are ready to understand and experience more and more about Krishna consciousness. We'll stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comment? Yes.
That because electricity can be measured from going from the nerves to the brain, so therefore everybody is just a, life is just a, like a battery or just like electronic movings, and then after the that runs out, then the life is over.
Therefore we're discussing the difference between a practicing spiritualist and a practicing scientist is that the scientist studies the matter. And a practicing spiritualist studies beyond the matter. As we are quoting Prabhupada, you know, one who is practicing devotional service, he likes to study soul, he likes to study the intelligence, the working of the intelligence, through the shelter of the shastras. And then, when you study the matter, like they want to go to the moon planet, and not only go to the moon planet, establish civilization. And what kind of civilization? Like Prabhupada said, what will they do there after going? Eat, sleep and pass stool. They are going to the moon planets, but their activities are the same. You know, the bird is flying high in the sky, but what does it look for? It is looking for some stool or some kind of flesh. So therefore, one may study the body and try to analyze the body, how the bodies are working. And like Gopinath Prabhu gave, you know, recently Madan Gopal Prabhu was performed with one ear surgery. And he was there personally seeing that surgery. He said it was so sophisticated, small bone, extremely small. You know, the machines are going inside the ear and the doctor is performing that surgery. He has done more than 10,000 surgeries. Now from an ordinary point of view, that expert is considered as knowledge. But Gopinath Prabhu said that is a carpentry. That is expert carpentry dealing with a very sophisticated ingredients. You don't handle them wrongly. Even this wood carving, you know, if there is some problem with this wood carving, we don't call any carpenter. We call Ranchod Bhai only, because he knows how to deal with this. Similarly, this ear, it's some kind of machine and you need carpenter. But this carpenter is very expert. But that is not knowledge. Like Prabhupada said, you know, a scientist is like a cook only. A cook knows certain recipes and he mixes. You know, he takes some masala, he takes little salt, he takes some grains, he takes some vegetable. He knows exactly how much to put and he creates one item. That is not considered as intelligence. That is a cook's business. Similarly, scientist creating something, he said that is no better than being a cook. He knows this ingredient, he combines it and creates something. That is not considered as knowledge. Knowledge means understanding the principle of the difference between body and the soul and the connection of the soul with the super soul. So therefore, again it proves our point. Those who only study the body, just like someone wanted to study the aborigines. And Prabhupada was talking to him. He said, what are you studying? He said, I am studying the primitive. He said, what nonsense? Why study primitive? Why not study the civilized people? Why are you wasting your time studying in primitive people? didn't make any sense to Srila Prabhupada. Or somebody is spending their whole life studying an ant. Ant is so insignificant, but giving the significant portion of their life studying insignificant ant and getting a PhD. For this, didn't make any sense to Srila Prabhupada. Why study ants? Why not study the underlying principle of who is sustaining the life of that ant? So one may study ant or one may study the moon, but the principle is the same. What is it? Studying the matter. But studying the principle of the life force of ant and studying the life force of moon is the science of sophisticated, civilized people. Therefore, we can go on. They can present their argument. We can present our argument. So therefore, Prabhupada wanted a medium. The medium of the scientist, the devotee scientist. Like we have our Gopinath Chandra. Going around the IIT and presenting very scientifically in their language. And then it becomes very... I asked Gaurang Prabhu, did you study those science books? He said, I never, because I had heard it so much, studied it so much. So directly hearing about Krishna's philosophy. So therefore, they may prove their points and make us feel very amazing. But ultimately, what is it? As Gopinath Prabhu very succinctly put it, I hope this doctor will not hear this. He's nothing but a carpenter. We don't offend Adi Keshav Prabhu, sorry. But this is what, because he's a devotee doctor, he's studying both. Studying the body, studying the science of the soul. So that is the difference. A materialistic person, either scientist or a carpenter, they deal with matter. They deal with tools. They deal with saw. One deals with sophisticated saw and one deals with a gross saw. In the Western world, even the carpenter, he makes same amount of money as the doctor. Like one devotee was saying, that when he was working as a carpenter, he was earning $70 per hour. That was about 5-6 years back. Even the software engineers don't make that much of money. So he is given that much of money. So from his point of view, he is making the same amount of money as any other doctor is making. A truck driver makes $3,000-$4,000. So therefore, the expertise are there, but according to the need, that expertise becomes very valuable. And they are given higher position. Not based upon their lifestyle. But in the Vedic Siddhanta, Vedic culture, one who has the higher values of life, he is given priority. He is given most important position. Gopinam, you want to add something about the carpentry? Wow. He said, Prabhupada said that engineering is glorified carpentry. Yes, Adi Keshav Prabhu. We are going beyond time, stopping something very important work.
Now you are talking about emotions. Emotions can come only if there is soul. But scientists have found out that there are some chemicals released when a person becomes angry. So they know how to counteract that emotion. So we also have something like laughing glass, You inhale that glass, you start laughing. So that means chemicals can also induce some emotion.
Yeah, take this chemical, same chemical which they have found out and put it in a dead body. Will he laugh? Yes, we don't disagree. The chemical, the laughing principle may come because they trigger some kind of, chemicals. But that is not the main thing. Simple example, a dead body, heart transplant. Prabhupada gave that example. You take a heart of a living person and plant it in a dead body. Will it revive? No, not possible. Just like soma is the source of life. So that is Krishna. Madhvacharya says that soma is Krishna only. But he is coming through soma. So what the scientists are doing, they are only seeing the chemical, but they are not seeing the something beyond the chemical. And that is what the Vedanta philosophy says. Why see only the apparent cause? There are two causes, the apparent cause and the remote cause. They fail to see the remote cause. You take all those chemicals what we are talking about and create that laughing, you know, energy. But you can only do it, that too with great efforts. With great efforts you can make a person who is suffering, you know, give some tablets, and there is a reaction also for that. Side effects are there. We don't disagree that these chemicals cause laugh or this chemical cause, you know, sleep. But they are immediate cause. What about the remote cause? You take the same chemicals, plant it in a dead body, you can't do it. Therefore, rather than seeing only the immediate cause, a real scientist sees the remote cause also. And that's what they don't recognize. They don't want to do that. And therefore Prabhupada would blast. He had no problem with the scientists. When he would meet them, he would greet them very nicely, talk to them very nicely, offer them nice prasad. He knew that only this will change them. The logic, they will not understand. A simple devotee will understand the logic, but so-called big person will not understand. Therefore, we have to see what is their, you know, lifestyle, what is their culture of life. If that culture of life is only to gratify the body, then he will never understand the principle of Atma. Therefore, that sage gave that benediction to the prince. Don't die, live long. Why? Because your life is only to enjoy. You can't understand principle beyond, you know, enjoying the sense gratification. And the brahmachari said, you die immediately. Why? Because when you are struggling in this body, but your goal is to attain connection with the Supreme Lord. So, Madhusudan Prabhu, our devotees have to stop bona fide yoga process at 9 o'clock.
Hare Krishna. This is regarding...
Approved yoga. Yes?
Because Adi Keshav Prabhu was telling about the chemicals producing that makes one laugh or cry, you know, emotions. Well, it's very simple and very nice, you know, in a class. You just say one crack, one small joke, everybody laughs. Why you have to go to all these things to create some chemical to make people laugh?
Yeah, that's another point Prabhupada made. He said, one who makes first motorcycle, he is glorified. And if you are making more motorcycle, he said, nobody will glorify you. Similarly, life is already created. And they said, Prabhupada, they want to create a life which will be more sophisticated and more refined one. Prabhupada said, you refine your life, forget about others. You try to lead a life which is more refined one, rather than creating a refined life. He said, give God a Nobel Prize, because he has created life. Why you imitate him? It's a good point.
We can tell the story of how Dushasan tried to molest Draupadi, then everybody can cry, create emotions.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Granth Raj Bhagavatam ki.